So, like, weed would be maybe a vice for you, or bordering on it at certain times.
Yeah, probably in the past.
You don't
not
have vices. Yeah.
No, that's what I was thinking. I'm wondering if I should take on vices for this month. Maybe I should start taking on vices.
That would be fun. Zippity.
Zim, bam, Sam. Boom. The sober boys of sobriety are hitting you for another Sober October spectacular. So lock in those ear pods and those head muffs and come on for a nice 25 mile an hour ride down a non-busy street.
I don't think you can say head muffs on a sober episode. I think I remember last year I was very excited about Sober October, and I think I failed pretty bad. I think I made it maybe it was only 2 weeks. I know I didn't make it all the way through. I think I made it 2 weeks in Sober October and then failed like in a tremendous fashion. And then I sobered up again right around Thanksgiving or something like that. That's what my last year was like. This year, I'm going for it even more than last. I already started. I got my COVID vax, my variant booster on Friday. It's Sunday now that we're recording. And if I would have been Men in Black that had happened, I wouldn't have known that there was anything different. But I think Saturday I was like a hair more tired than usual, but I've been gearing up for Sober October. I've had it in my mind that after the festival was over, because I knew I didn't want to be sober for the festival, I was going to like clean up everything and whatnot. And so that was just the perfect, because I didn't like every time I've gotten vaccinated, I'm like, I'm going to take a break for at least a few days to let my immune system do what it's supposed to do. So it was just a perfect time. So I'm on day two.
Oh, it's not even October yet.
And a half.
Yeah. And what does, what counts as sober and what does not? Because
that's
alcohol, of course. And then of course, anything more severe than alcohol, we're going to put heroin, cocaine, all this stuff that, most people don't even do, hopefully. What if most people did
heroin and cocaine?
Yeah, that's the problem. I wonder if most people do alcohol, like globally. Probably not. Most? Yeah, do most people drink alcohol, even if it's socially?
I think it's considered peculiar in most regions if you don't drink alcohol.
There's like that Jack Whitehall bit from Netflix, which I only know because it's like the preview one. It's like, if you drink two glasses of wine in America, you're drunk. If you have two glasses of wine in the UK, you're the designated driver. Like, oh, that sounds fun. I didn't know that. And I just always remember that delivery.
You really put the emphasis on that. And that was very good.
Yeah, I just drink a whole bottle of Jack Daniels, and if I'm in the UK, I'm a designated driver.
I wonder if McCool can find this. I always put too much
pressure.
Of course
he can. He's
McCool.
He's like Jamie from Joe Rogan Experience plus heroin plus cocaine plus Lieutenant Commander Data's index ability. He's got it all.
Amazing ability to edit things. Not just look things up.
We won the lottery ticket there. Not to keep interrupting, but a lot of podcast producers, I feel like they won the lottery. Like if you're Joe Rogan's podcast producer or Your Mom's House or something, like you gotta you landed a good gig. You right place, right time. We landed the best editor.
Yeah.
Normally it's the other way around.
Yeah. They have like mediocre editors on an incredibly successful show. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing editor on an incredibly unsuccessful show.
With a charm. The unsuccess of it is part of the charm.
Absolutely.
And we're going to miss these days when we're like walking around in gold furniture, not sitting in gold furniture. We're walking around with gold furniture.
Yeah, why did I buy gold couch boots that I need to now lumber across the street? Fortunately, people carry me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's this map of the United States, and it was 50 drunkest cities, or like most alcohol consumed per capita, and it was the top 50 cities or towns or whatever, and it was red dots, and it was just a white map, and then it was just Wisconsin was just that it was just Wisconsin traced out in red dots.
Wow.
With like a couple other red ones in North Dakota. But Wisconsin has something like 45 of the top 50 alcohol consumption.
Wow. I would have thought it was New Orleans or something like that, but perhaps just the city of New Orleans.
When I was growing up, my hometown of like 50,000 less, more like when I was growing up, 35,000 people, 40,000 people. They had every year they went back and forth with Bourbon Street for most bars on one street.
Wow. That's where you come from. That's in your DNA.
Yeah. And it's everyone around when I've quit drinking for years at a time in the past, and people always gave me a hard time. Once there was, this is insane. Once there was, I'm like, gosh, should I even tell this? Well, whatever. People know the story where I'm from. Once there was this girl who I know who was giving me a hard time about not drinking. And this is at one of my shows. There's a bar attached to it. And there's this Cavalier Theater in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And I'm hanging out with everyone. It's a lot of like people that I know show up there and stuff. So it's a fun hang. See old high school people and stuff. And this old high school girl, she's like, I just can't imagine not drinking. I'm like, oh, you know, I make less mistakes and stuff. I'm a little more clear-headed. And she's just like, how can you not drink? And she's getting drunker and drunker, and she keeps on with this. Like, this is before the show, then I do a show, then afterwards, she just still can't comprehend that I don't drink. And whatever. I was like so used to hearing that sort of thing from anyone there. It didn't really bother me. It was just getting a hair annoying, and it was a lot, like just relentless. And then the next day, her mugshot was in the newspaper. And what had happened was she...
Have you ever been in that paper? I've been in it once.
There was a specific Austin paper. This is the real paper.
Oh, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Because there's like a DWI mugshot only newspaper.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's like such Texas stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that they have that in like some small towns and stuff too. But what had happened? She went home with her boyfriend, and I don't know if she was like being slightly annoying or whatever. He felt that way. And he, like for a joke, locked her out of the house, or they got in some fight or something like that. And he locked her out of the house. And then she ended up going like around back and crawled through the window, and his very old dog, not expecting someone to crawl through the window, like started barking or like came to attack or something like that. And she kicked the dog
no.
at least once and killed it.
What? We got a trigger warning this episode.
And then was in the paper for killing a dog, like lost her job, like people wouldn't support the business that she worked for and stuff. And she was like known in the town as the dog killer.
Was it a little dog? Because I didn't know, like, if it's a substantial, like, whatever, a golden retriever or something, you probably can't kick it twice. Maybe if you get a perfect shot.
It was a very old dog on its last leg. I think it was a wiener dog, if I'm remembering.
Oh, okay. No, you can just, like, nudge it to death or just tip it over. Probably it can't find its way back up.
I don't know how hard of a kick it was. I don't know what the intention was. Who knows? But after harassing me all night about, like, why would you not drink? She's in the paper the next day as the dog
killer.
That
must have been so validating, because you probably weren't on board with that at all, but part of you was probably like, oh, maybe she's right. Maybe this is a boring, like, responsible life. What is a life if not to take a few chances and risks and live a little bit?
I felt bad for everyone and thing and dog involved, but always there's always just something that breaks me after sobriety, like after a really long streak, after a couple years. Then I went to I was in Azora outside Bucharest. It's kind of like
I don't know what either of those are.
Budapest.
Oh,
they pronounce it Bucharest there.
They call it Bucharest?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Budapest is not what they call themselves. We just said, like, no, we got it. It's Budapest. Fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Buddha and a pest.
Yeah. And so about 2 hours south of there, there's like a Psytrance festival. It's like 40,000-50,000 people, and they have like huge permanent installations and stuff.
Your whole town that you grew up in, population.
Yeah.
But as a Psytrance festival.
Yeah. And I went there, and I had to spend, I had this whole Europe tour. This is in 2019. And then I'm with these two guys. One of them organized it for me. And then the other guy was like giving a talk there or whatever. And the guy he was like very enthusiastic. It's funny, he brought me there. He's like, I feel like we'll have this conversation about consciousness and how it's all like a universal consciousness.
Oh, no one's treaded that territory before.
And
I can't wait.
I know. And so I'm like, okay, well, I don't believe that, so I guess I'll be the one that doesn't believe that, and you can be the one that believes that. And he, like, booked me to come to talk about universal consciousness or something. And I'm like, all right, I can come to. I was like, how about you just let me talk about what I think will be entertaining to talk about with people? Anyway, he's a great guy. I was grateful to be there. But he was like, we'll have an adventure on the way from this one festival to this other, because he was going to fly us. He's like, what about we could take a train and go through all these other areas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a wonderful adventure on a train and see different sights and get to know each other. And, you know, it sounds lovely. And then I realized it was just 2 days on a train, and like, I was just not really into it.
And no cool sights, just like no windows, just train with someone
some
going
cool
like
sights, but it was like 48 hours straight. And by the time we got there, I think we stopped somewhere. We did get a hotel at some point, but by the time we got there, I was very tired. I'm in a new place. I'd never been to a Psytrance festival before. I'm sober. I don't want to do psychedelics because I'd had a manic episode like not too long before that. Normally I do psychedelics at a place like this and enjoy it. It's pouring rain. There's this very affable, charming greeter guy who has just like reminded me of one of my my really good friends, Micah Sherman, and I just thought he was like hilarious and silly. And he has this like Turkish wine with him. He's like, hey, you want some Turkish wine? And I look around and I'm listening to this music that's so loud and I hate it. And it's Storm. I'm like, this is going to be my life for 5 days. And there's no escaping it. It is so loud. Like, I later on in that festival, I woke up twice. I thought it was real cats screaming at first when they woke me up at 8 a.m. I thought it was cats like mating or fighting. And it turns out that just this one particular DJ likes to mix in cat screams into his EDM music at 8 a.m. where I was 2 miles away from the stage and could hear it clear as could be. That's how loud it was. It was, there was no escaping it. But anyway, and I knew that's what it was going to be like as soon as I arrived. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I was like, either I'm going to be miserable for 5 days or I can just drink and have the time of my life. And so I'm like, I'm drinking again. I know how to quit drinking. I don't know how to enjoy this without alcohol. And so it's always something like that. And then when I start drinking again, it goes great. And it's just like fun and I'm having a great time. And either I'm more charming or feel like I am and blah, blah, blah.
It's all that matters.
Either way, yeah, it's just terrific. And then it just goes so well for so long that I just take it for granted and forget that I have some alcoholic tendencies and now I'm like waking up and cracking a beer first thing in the morning and like just drinking all day every day.
How often would you black out when you're in those eras, those phases?
When I was touring and drinking, I'd black out quite. I was a real blackout drinker.
I never black out. I'll always throw up but I'll never black out in terms of, and this is forever ago, but even then, because I consider blackout is like your motor function is still there. You're talking to people, you're doing stuff. And then tomorrow you have no recollection of anything. So I've never done that. I just don't black out. It always comes out or I pass out.
I've blacked out in like important situations that affect my career and things. And I guess when I black out, I'm pretty nice, but usually people just feel bad for me because I'm just like, or whatever. You know, I'm not like fighting people or whatever. In fact, I think I don't know if I told you that I remember once in Kirkland, Washington at Laughs, which is now in Seattle, Laughs Comedy Club.
Great name, Laughs.
Very original. Great name. Yeah, you know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. And
Eats. I love the restaurant Eats. I love Bowls, the bowling alley. I love Shops, the mall. Love Laughs, the comedy club. Love Live, the home, the line of designer homes, Live.
I blacked out. I remember my I had another old high school buddy and his wife visiting me, and I blacked out that evening, I remember my first set, but I had two sets that night. And I was totally blacked out for the second set. So much so when I showed up the next day, I was like, how's this going to get? Like, I don't remember that set at all. And I walked in and everyone was just like, your second set last night was the best comedy set we've ever seen. It's like, what did I do?
And it's gone.
What happened? It's gone. I have no memory of it. I have no idea what I said.
No videos.
No videos.
Yeah, your best work is just stuck in time somewhere that we will maybe get to retrieve when we have access to the old files. But it's just gone in the ether now.
I also have weird things where I used to black out and I'd get home and I would start reading science books.
Physics, or, right? You used to only read physics when you're blackout drunk.
Yeah. And so I'll have, so if I hit a certain level of drunk, I'll just start blabbing about physics because it accesses that part of my memory where physics is stored. And yeah,
what if you've discovered 0 point energy, but everyone just was smelling the alcohol on you, so they were dismissive of it? But what if you did crack the, like, figuring out to get
cracked much,
get energy out of the Planck density at, like, at Shannon limit levels of compression or whatever it's called? Is that what it's called? There's something called the Shannon limit, I think, which is the most amount of, like, compression you can do while it still functions correctly. And apparently our brains don't got that. It's very inefficient, lots of memory leaking, and it's still only like 50 gigs.
I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but it's similar. But do you ever follow Dan Harmon?
You told me to Instagram. Because of the machine that does stuff. That's the reason I follow him. But I loved Rick and Morty and Community and his drunken rants and all that kind of stuff.
He's so Rick. He just gets more and more Rick all of the time. His 100%. Last video is just him on this ridiculous motorized scooter, and he just pulls into a garage. The garage has nothing in it but this circle platform that he pulls his bike onto. And then he puts the kickstand down and he gets down and he turns this platform around, and the whole platform is just to spin his bicycle 180 degrees. And then he just gets back on the bike and goes back out the door. And it's like this device. It was probably thousands of dollars.
It's nothing to him.
At least, but it's hilarious. That's all it does.
And that does something. Easier.
It takes more work to spin the bike around than just to manually spin the bike around.
But that at least does kind of something. Some of the other stuff you showed me, it literally does nothing. It picks up a thing that, like, moves another lever for another pulley to, like, a machine that is just a machine that machines. Like, helps a thing that helps a thing that helps a thing that never actually accomplishes anything.
Did you see the, or did I tell you about the night vision goggles
thing
that he did? One day on Instagram, he has black eyes. And then he tells the story of what happened. And what happened was he was on a scooter with night vision goggles and crashed. And they smashed into his face and gave him two black eyes. And then he reached out to a neighbor where he crashed, and he found footage of him doing it. And he just looks like an absolute fucking lunatic. He's wearing night vision goggles just on an electric scooter going down. That's just how he was living, just riding around at night on an electric scooter with night vision goggles, no intent on ever telling anyone that he was doing this.
I would love to see that footage, and that should be the next chapter of his career. Like, any kind of footage like that, that should be, like, don't make another Rick and Morty animated style thing with the clever dialogue and world building. We get it. We've got enough of that. It's great. Do that. Show us your night vision goggle scooter accidents.
Yeah. Which, by the way, do you know Duncan is...
Trussell?
Yeah.
Hines?
Duncan Trussell.
Moving back to LA? Do it.
He's in a show, Crapopolis, that's coming out, that Dan Harmon...
Is that one of those ones that looks like Rick and Morty?
Yeah.
Cool. Bit.
So, good for Duncan. Looking forward to that. That's one of my things.
I hope someone gets Midnight Gospel. I hope another network, the same way that other shows have been saved, like, brought to another network. If someone got Midnight Gospel again, not that it didn't end perfect, like, it's perfect as a one-season thing, but there should be more of it.
Oh, I agree. I'm biased because I would get to be in it if there was more seasons.
Yeah, I would have a shot. I think if it had 10 seasons, I would put money on maybe I could get in. But I don't know. There's a lot of good talks there, and I don't know if I had a particularly great episode. It wasn't suck, but like I think I was probably one of the more whoever, who cares episodes.
I'm sure that's not the case. So speaking of TV, that brings us back to... That's another thing that I'm giving up. So I'm going hard at Sober October. No cigarettes, no drinking, no TV, unless it's specifically for Here We Are research. There's
what about for this?
A documentary that I have to do watch.
What if we have to do a Data episode and I force you to watch like 3 episodes with Data?
And I won't do that. I'll watch like a science documentary for this show. That's okay. It. And then No Teach You.
That's good.
Which I started to get back into. But they're all related. They're all just avoidant behavior. And they're also just like distractions in a way of like avoiding confronting a lot of the stuff that I need to do. I don't know. Cigarettes are just... I started smoking again in May when I went to the first fest. I was like, oh yeah, I'll have a cigarette again. They hook you so fast. But I was also...
You didn't just have a cigarette because you ran over your foot with a golf cart and you were going nonstop. Like,
but I was smoking during the summer and then I quit again. And then I started smoking after ran my... Yeah. But yeah, they do help me concentrate. They help me. There were days that I had to send. You almost smoked?
I almost smoked when I saw your foot. When I saw your foot swell up and knowing the history of that foot, I'm like, I need it. I need a cigarette to process.
It was 100% fine by that following Tuesday or so.
You were on magical healing grounds. Yeah, and the universe was like nudging like your healing like, you know, cells. Just like, come on, kick it up, boys.
It just swells up so easily. But it did look like shit, admittedly. Everyone was very concerned. Everyone was more concerned about my foot than I was. I just powered through it. But so you asked, what is sobriety? So I posted this on Discord because for anyone on Discord... since the festival, there's like been that much more of a community vibe and everything. And even if you weren't at the festival, it's just a good time to get on Discord because it's a little more active than normal. And I thought one way to keep that going now that more of us know each other is maybe on Patreon or something. We'll start doing some meetups about Sober October too. Cause what I put on there was my version of Sober October is about vices. So it doesn't need to be alcohol or like illegal drugs or whatever. Like for me, if I want to smoke weed, I get to during Sober October because I don't really like weed and I smoke it like 5 times a year. And if I smoked weed more often than I did, I would be thrilled. I think that it would improve my life if I smoked a little weed like once a week, but I just don't like it that much. I just don't have that positive. So if I had like 4 positive experiences with weed or whatever, and you know, I've never smoked weed and then the next day been like, oh no, why did I start smoking weed or something like that?
I have, but not because of the things I did, but because it just is the next day all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, cause if you go under and then it's like 9 hours pass, it's like, what have I done? Those 9 hours are gone.
So like weed would be maybe a vice for you or bordering on it at certain times.
Yeah, probably in the past.
You don't
not
have vices. Yeah.
No, that's what I was thinking. I'm wondering if I should take on vices for this month. Maybe I should start taking on vices.
That would be fun. Oh, then everyone could get involved because there was a few people like that were like, I'm out. I'm gonna do all of your things instead in October.
No video game addiction.
And McCool was like, there's too many good fall beers for me to be sober.
But I love that he loves good beers. When we were at the grocery store, it's like, he's like, what's some good local IPAs? I'm like, oh, he's got like the taste for
Yeah.
For the good booze or the good
beer. You gotta really like beer to like IPA.
Oh, I love IPAs. I like a good hoppy, hoppy flavor, you know?
I'm like I'm more of a light fruity Hefeweizen sort of.
That's fun
guy,
too.
But I don't like beer generally. When I drink it, it keeps me out of trouble, but it makes me sad and tired. So.
It does. It does kind of give you heavy, like tiredness feelings if you have too
and
much
full.
Of it. Full, yeah, it takes up a lot of room. But I guess that's not why I've never done cigarettes. I've maybe smoked 3 cigarettes in my whole life. And then weed, just whatever. Alcohol, also whatever. I mean, what
video
else is there?
Games?
Video game? No. I'm too busy working on stuff and like just goofing off. Maybe YouTube is a vice. I think YouTube and just vegging out, like just goofing off, like just looking at videos of stuff is somewhat of a vice.
Like what, on Instagram?
A little bit. But I just, there's nothing that gives me more comfort than just being able to lie down in bed with a laptop and just use YouTube as a spaceship of like, ooh, where should I go now? What's this? Oh, I haven't thought of that in 10 years. Let's waste 15 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 20 minutes there. It's fun. I think it's building some kind of Akashic record in my brain of stuff to know.
That seems like a healthy relationship. My relationship was because I didn't watch TV or play Tichu all summer until the very end, like the last couple weeks before the festival, because I had 4 months just been living and breathing the festival, and then all the anxiety was ramping up, plus I knew we were going to lose money, plus I was worried about how many people were going to like show up, and I was worried about how I was going to go. And it was all that I could talk about. It was every conversation that I had. It was all that I could think about. And finally, I was like, I just need a thing to get this fucking festival off my mind just for like a day or two. And then when I get back into stuff, I'm an all or nothing guy.
Yeah, just, you need like, the adrenaline.
Yeah.
You have the intense focus of it.
Yeah.
Because you scored pretty high on the ADHD, right? When we did ADHD. I think we were equals. Like bipolar, of course, you got way more points than I did. But ADHD, I think we were pretty similar.
Yeah, I think we were both near perfect scores, weren't we?
For ADHD? Yeah.
I think so.
Good students in the school of not being good students in a direction, unless you like that direction as a hyper obsession in that moment. But everything else, what? Not thinking about it.
Yeah. Does it negatively, do you have problems with like Catherine where she's
all the
talking?
Time. Yeah, which she's, we've always gotten stronger over the years, but one point of contention that's come up a lot is time dilation.
Yeah.
Where I'll be like, no, well, no, you told me that yesterday. It's like, no, I told you that 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what? It's like, see, today is September 25th. That took place September 1st. Interesting. Or like I'll be there in, you know, 30 minutes and that becomes 5 hours. Because if I laser focus on something, then it just becomes nighttime. So I have extreme time dilation, which is good for texting people back or doing that. But I'm all right.
I don't have time dilation. I always feel when people are like, can you believe it's been 3 years since, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how long it's felt to me. I just always feel that way. But I'm a very spacey boy. You're a better listener than I am. And I feel like you have a better memory for like names and things.
Yeah. I think I build it out in my head or I mean maybe that's just natural retention of stuff, but I'll remember people and what they like and who they are. Like I'll build a doctor file on them in my head and I'll remember people for like if I meet you once I'll remember you 15 years later.
That's
for the
crazy.
Most part, unless you're just boring ass John Doe who gives a shit, in which case I'll just be like, John, good to see ya.
I meet people and my brain's just been conditioned over the years of so many years on the road and traveling. It's just like, no matter how great of an experience this is, no matter how much I like this person, we have no need for any of this information. Never going to see them again in life. I just have like very salient life experiences with just all of these strangers and people that I've just known for like a day or a weekend or something like that. I need to
sneeze.
I was going to say I need to blow my nose, but maybe, you know what?
Your nose blew itself.
Okay, I'm How back.
Was it? Good blow?
It was a good blow. I thought of the idea.
The idea? What idea are we talking about again?
For Sober October, which we're making about vices, not about alcohol. Yes. So, like, what's your vice? What's the thing that is, like, creating some sort of, like, an addiction that's negatively impacting your life, I would say. So you don't have one. So here's the idea. Everyone shares theirs on Discord and stuff, and maybe we'll do a weekly meetup or something like that. And you pick some of them to do.
Like, yeah, I will bear your burden for you for that week. Yeah. I will make sure that same amount of product is still being sold, so like it doesn't mess with the numbers of the universe. Like Dos Equis or whatever beer you're drinking is not like, oh, we just lost $12 this month. Don't worry, I'll get you.
Yeah, so you need to pick some, like learn, teach you, and then play it for an extraordinarily long amount of time for no reason or something like that.
Maybe watch I should the develop shows video I was game going addiction.
To watch.
Yeah, I'll watch shows. I'm watching old shows right now. Shows I've seen and I've let my memory forget so that I can reclaim them somehow.
You can't just let your memory forget things.
I mean, these are shows free. I watched when I was 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do it intentionally, though.
Oh, wouldn't that be
amazing?
Great? Yeah, selectively forget anything.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't learn, I guess. I guess it's our most embarrassing moments that have to slowly seep in and, like, strengthen our character, which is why I think the younger generation, there's always a different word for it, but this new, Gen Z is all about cringe and avoiding cringe. It seems like cringe is, like, the value at which... It's just, what is the opposite of the value to be conserved? Just the value to avoid most, mm-hmm. the thing to avoid most is to be cringe. And then people who are in their 30s and 40s, it's like, what do you mean? You can't avoid cringe. You just be cringe sometimes. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no fear of cringe. And then they're amazed somehow, like, well, how can you skirt the line of cringe? Like, I just found this comedian, Norm MacDonald. He's so cool. You know, he died recently, and it felt like he could be cringe sometimes, but it was like he was okay with it. I saw this is such a funny article of the state of comedy right now. Let me know what you think of this. You know how they'd released those lists of, 22 comedians you must know in 2022, mm-hmm. like the young up-and-coming people you got to know. One person was described, I forget the name of the comic, let's just call him Jaker or something. Like, so Jaker tells jokes with a capital J. We're talking setups and punchlines. That was used to describe like comedian you gotta know. We've Whoa. Come so full circle that like the epitome of like, you gotta check this guy out. They tell jokes.
Because now everything is just people doing shitty crowd work for a minute on social media, which was just what happened in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then the 90s were all about trying to get the audience to be like, whoa, 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 we don't do that anymore. Can you please stop yelling weird shit at us?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work like you think that it does.
This is going to be remembered as a boom when really there was no... boom, but I guess there is a boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boomtown. Moshe Kasher and Brent Weinbach.
I mean,
Alex Cole and Alex Gray and his wife Allison.
So let's see. Oh, I was gonna say there. I think alcohol gets easier for me to quit because I never like feel like quitting forever. I just know when I hit. I just know. That when I drink for long enough, it'll be it, like recently it was the sugar as much as anything, because I was drinking so many hard seltzers and and I was drinking, and I had those Freezy Pop things that I was in love with. I still am. Those things are amazing. And and it was just, my body was just starting. There's this comic, Dan Bulger, that I started with that got diabetes at like a pretty young age, who's thin and everything, just from drinking too much. Just from being like,
oh, yeah, because alcohol is converted to sugar. And so when you drink a beer, it's like drinking 2.5 Coca-Colas, according to your body. Yeah, yeah. And maybe sugar is a vice. I think sugar might be a vice for me, because I've never once thought that I need to eliminate sugar. I would never even entertain looking at this and like, oh, I better reduce my sugar intake.
Mm-hmm.
What, eat cardboard? Fuck you. I'm going to die a warrior. A sugar warrior.
Look, there's a little tail on the screen. That's amazing.
Yeah. We got a Yosh here. Let's see if he can get in the camera. Wait, please don't exit the camera.
Yosh was in the camera.
He's been having late outside. Like, he goes to work. Here he comes again. He leaves at like 9 in the morning, and then he comes home at 8. We just don't see him.
That's funny.
And there's no other animal that does that. I mean, even, of course, not dogs. No one lets their dog out and then it's like, oh, have fun. Like, try not to cause too much trouble. Okay, that's different.
It is different. Then, like, farmers poison them and stuff.
See?
Because if the, like, the dogs, like, razz their cattle or anything, the farmers will just poison the dogs.
It's just another pest to them. Like, this is our crop. Yeah. We got to keep it healthy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, cats, you can just let out. They do kill plenty of things. And then they come home whenever they want to come home. They own the house.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about this before on here, but, like, Yosh, the house smells like him. It's got all his oils on it, and there's endless photos of him. There's more photos of him or cartoons of black cats in the house than there are photos of us. So even by our standards, he owns the house. It's like, yeah, my picture's everywhere. I can be anywhere. It smells like me. Of course, this is my house.
In Portland, living there for a couple of years, the cats own the streets. There has to be the most outdoor cats per capita.
Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Portland, there Oregon rules.
Yeah. They're all over. They're just all over the sidewalks, all over everywhere. Yeah. It is kind of cool.
I think Portland might be the most woke city, too. Maybe San Francisco is tied.
I really liked Portland when I lived there.
Everyone was that? Like, that was like 2017, right?
I moved out. Yeah, 2017 to, I moved out April or May of 2019.
That's where Kate lived, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I always loved how many food trucks there were, and there was zero people in suits. There was not an adult to be found anywhere. I don't know how the infrastructure continues.
I always liked it there. Always cool places, cool people. Had a lot of fun. I forget what I was gonna say. Yeah, some of my early problems with alcohol were just one being from Wisconsin, because I remember moving to Boston, where Boston drinks a lot, but I
Boston
remember
might be number one
drinking number one what?
Like contender for number one drunk town.
It's a drunk town, but when I moved there and people would see me drink there, they'd be like, whoa, what are you doing? And at the time, I just thought I was drinking the way everyone drank. Before I moved out of Wisconsin, I had zero idea that people my age, which was 24 at the time, didn't just drink as much as they possibly could every night. that they could manage it.
Have you seen the new Joe List movie, the Louis C.K. produced one? I know that Louis C.K. masturbated and came everywhere, and there was a whole thing. But I've compartmentalized those, and you don't have to. But I compartmentalize, so I still enjoy the works. But it's about, you know, Joe List's Boston family that never communicates with, like, you know, hugs and saying we love you. Like, all the communication is through food and alcohol and the only time you'll never look each other in the eyes, but you will if it's during a sports argument or something. And it just shows like the weird culture of how love is expressed there and how integral alcohol is to that. Because Joe List is sober, and that's like a point of contention in the movie, that he like he's an F word for being sober.
Oh yeah, I should check that out. There's a lot of Boston comics in it and stuff. But I just quit TV for a month.
So damn. Movies count, huh? Movies count as TV.
Movies count, yeah, yeah. Yeah, only, and not documentaries, just to be watching a documentary. Only if I'm like, we have a sloth episode coming out for International Sloth Day. So if there's like a sloth talk or a sloth documentary or something like that that I can watch to prepare for that, then that's acceptable.
I'm going to upload one to YouTube, and I'm going to splice in TV moments that I want you to see and then somehow integrate it into the narrative. Like, sloth's behavior is not unlike Geordi LaForge in season 3 of... Like, hey, I've just been watching a Star Trek clip for 7 minutes. What is this?
Do you have a lot of friends with some big vices, or where do I rank on your
friends with
vices list?
I have to think about it. Let's see, who is big drinkers going back to Austin?
There's some big drinkers there.
Yeah, comic friends. Austin, particularly, alcohol was big, and you don't realize how drunk Austin is till you leave it. And Jake Flores had the bit of like, oh, Austin should be spelled with two A's.
Yeah. There's so many, in LA, there's so much pressure to be healthy, and you have to drive everywhere, and you have to drive like long distances as well. I feel like alcoholism, I think weed is a bigger, isn't as much of a...
Weed is huge here. There's people that, like, I know that smoke dabs. I had no idea how powerful dabs are. And it's the, like, what the concentrated resin that they put in the thing. And then there's pearls that spin, and they use a blowtorch to light it. And it's like this very clean thing, but that'll put you to bed in a half.
Oh my God.
And there's people I know that do it like every hour on the hour, amount that is like basically lethal to me. Not actually lethal. It can't kill you, but like, you might as well be dead for the next 9 hours, because you won't be thinking anything, you won't be doing anything, and you'll think that your whole life has faded away, because what is life without the control aspect of it? And you have no control over your life when you're on dabs.
I had this dopey, boyfriend of one of Kate's friends, Joe. We would get Airbnbs there. We had such an amazing friend group in Portland, because a bunch of people from Wisconsin had moved out there. And anyhow, so we'd go and get like a big, like 8-bedroom Airbnb, you know, some mansion or something somewhere, and have like a hot tub and fires and stuff. And I had this one dabbing friend who dabbed so much. One time we were playing board games, and he was always pretty decent at board games and picking up on them. I'm explaining this one, and he's just not getting it. And it's the simplest game. And it's like Sushi Go or something like that. And finally I was like, Joe, man, you do too many dabs. How are you not getting this? And he goes, oh, I haven't done a dab in a while. And then he went and smoked a dab, and then he was just fully functional again. And that's what full-time dabbers are like. They cannot function without it, which I can get like that with alcohol. Like if you drink too much, and then you wait, it's like, well, either I'm going to be hungover all day and I'm going to like suck during this podcast or whatever else, or I can just start drinking again. There's some of our recordings where I was like, all right, this is going great. And then at about this mark, about like 45, 50 minutes into it, I'm like, oh man, I'm starting to hear myself slur a little bit.
And it's all documented.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny that we now have enough sample data to notice like at moments when there's dips or like full episodes that are just whatever and then full episodes that are just zimming and banging and booming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows? The best episode is maybe yet to come. An all perfect episode. Every line perfect from both of us.
We've had some pretty killer episodes. We've had more killer episodes than we've had duds, for sure. But I was once, at that festival that I talked about on International Mum Day, where it was like the Illuminati of all these amazing psychedelic artists from around the world. And it was this Camp Out Fest, the one that inspired our lunatics to contribute and inspired our festival and Soup to reach out.
Do you remember the name?
Is Phaneros Art, Phaneros_art. His name's Matt. I'm forgetting his last name suddenly just because I'm bad with names. I should know it. But I've collaborated with it. He just runs studios for, he doesn't make art himself. He just has a great eye for psychedelic art and tries to, he's a lot of psychedelic artists, like first big show and things like that. And there was someone with a booth with small little dab rigs, and I was like, Kate, we gotta get one of these for Joe. They like fit almost in a wallet size thing. It's a little glass thing. It has a little torch, because Joe would bring everywhere he went, it's the most annoying thing. He's kind of an annoying guy anyway. He'd have a big bong with him, and he is fucking dopey, and he'd always say like awkward, inappropriate shit. And he had this big like propane torch with him all of the time. And he would, like, if we had a long drive, he would still need to dab every 30 minutes to an hour or whatever. So just driving in his car, he would have this fucking huge bong and blowtorch and everything else that he's like, what the fuck? And so I'm like, we got to get him one of these. And the guy doing it, he's like, oh, you should try it. Here's a little sample. He saw me do a set at the festival. And I was like, oh, I don't fuck with dabs. And he's like, this is mild, though. It's like a small, it's just a baby. I'm like, no way, man. I don't dab. And he's like, I'm telling you, it's like really smooth. I'm like, all right, I'll have a very small hit. And I had probably a smaller than average size hit of this dab. And within 30 seconds, I was just laid out on the ground, just making snow angels. I was actually having a wonderful time, but there was no way I could do anything. I was just laid out in like a major, like imagine Artist Row, if someone was just at Mumfest and someone was just laid out and people had to like walk over them and stuff. Like, well, this person's not moving for an hour. That's what dabs are like.
Have we talked about doing a business row in addition to Artist Row or Finance Row? Like if we had a sister component to Artist Row where it's like all spreadsheets and like, well, here's Fidelity and you should start an account with Vanguard. Like people that could give you business advice. No colors, no mandalas, no paints, no glow in the dark.
I don't want it to be real things. Well, maybe. My brother was going to come and give crypto talks. Does that count? Crypto's a little too cool.
Yeah, it's got the bro stink on it right now.
Yeah, right.
And I know that it's the future. I love that it's being delayed. It brings me such pleasure because, I mean, I know this is FOMO speaking because, of course, I'm missing out on crypto because I have, like, what, $23 in crypto, which is not enough to make any sort of gains. But when I see that like people who are all about it are like, oh, looks like it's dead for the next 3 years. We thought NFTs were going to take off, but it seems like because of the war in Ukraine and stuff, it seems like in the current global state of things, it looks like it's dead for at least 3 years. I'm like,
yeah, the war in Ukraine is the reason why crypto didn't take off the way that you thought it would. But
Is it not part of it? I thought like just global instability is probably going to make for any new fiat currencies. Like people are going to trust stable currencies as opposed to investing stuff when there's inflation and gas prices are going up. Not specifically Ukraine, but just any sort of global unrest is going to make for...
And these crypto investors are just like really keeping up with the war in Ukraine and watching it like very closely and making financial decisions based on it. I don't know.
Not directly, but as a repercussion. I could completely be speaking out of my ass here, but that's the only place I speak out of.
Well, me too. But I remember the exact same thing happening when... And I said this in February or whatever on the show, which is, oh man, I shouldn't have had a Jolly Rancher.
What, one Jolly Rancher or one of those big sticks?
No, it's just one regular size Jolly Rancher. But then I was like chewing on it and I was hearing it in my own ear.
Oh, I thought you meant like the sugar spike got you.
Ears. No, I was just...
I didn't even hear it.
Oh, good. So, yeah, I mean, I think it had more to do with the election and people fearing instability. The same thing happened as soon as Obama was elected. Fox, every ad on Fox News is like, the Democrats are taking over. And you know what happens next is the economy's going to collapse because they're just going to give it all away and money's going to be worthless and blah, blah, blah. So you need to buy gold and you can buy gold from us. And you have the special knowledge that gold, the one thing that's true, and
you
the
can
American dollar is going to be worthless. And then about 6 months later, they're like, hey, we'll buy gold from you for 10 cents on the dollar for what we sold it to you for. And I mean, that's to me what happened to crypto. That's when it hit its biggest peak, was right around that time. And instability is what caused the price to go up so much, because there is people storming the Capitol and stuff like that.
Oh,
if it was
right.
About instability,
and
plus they're like,
COVID.
The only way South America is gonna ever be free with all their instability is if crypto gives the power back to the people. I'm like, I don't think any of that's true.
Yeah, they're mining and playing these you know, the Ethereum games where you just have to solve a captcha every 30 minutes and like mine the Ethereum. It's like, yeah, but it's supporting them and giving them a well. So couldn't you just give them the well and not force them to like drain all these
play a game worse than teach you?
Yeah.
All day.
All the games suck in terms of as a game. So far, every crypto game I've seen as a game alone sucks. Like when you're comparing it to real games, it's like early gluten-free versions of things. I know gluten-free stuff now is pretty top-notch, but I'm talking
that's
like 15 years ago.
The future of work is just playing the worst video games. It's like, we got to feel like we're doing something, so you have to play a video game that is very inferior to all other games, and you know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that for a living. Because
yeah.
We all need to do something for some reason.
Noah showed me one of them, and I feel like I made it tank. Me and Jessa both kind of joke about anytime Noah shows us one of these crypto things, like we cause it to tank because we have so much internalized, like, like not allowing ourselves to make money from that. But Noah is excellent at it. He like grabs the wave and is like, I'm making like $10,000 a day, man. You got to get on in this. And then if me and Jessa join it, it's like the graph just starts to go... or just plummets like the steepest water slide in the world.
I mean, isn't it finding the latest like goofy thing?
Yeah.
My brother's a computer programmer, and he's just like Bitcoin and Bitcoin only, and he's like sort of a maximalist.
Is he a millionaire? Or is he like a 400,000-aire now?
I don't know what he is, but I know that at the same time that he got really into Bitcoin was the same time it was peaking, and now it's like 1/4 of that price. So, but like he's a believer enough to be like, and I'm thrilled about it because now it's cheap and I can buy more Bitcoin, which I mean, I don't know anything about computer programming. Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, it just, it does. It seems like there's like, it seems like religiosity a little bit to me, but I don't know enough about computer programming.
Is that the Bill Maher movie?
That's religious. Religiosity is a
term, a concept. Or gotcha. A
concept. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I gotta show you this Bill Maher clip of so Bill Maher has a show that's the opposite of his normal show, which is called Politically Incorrect or Real Time or one of those two. I think they were both called that at some point. But
yeah,
the other show, Club Random, is in his like little house next to his real house that's like decorated like a club with disco lights, and he just gets really high and just talk to whoever I want. So I'll talk to Leslie Jones, I'll talk to, you know, Lisa Kudrow or Jeff Ross. And like when Jeff Ross was on, he's telling him like, you're a good looking man, you know that? You could be like an action hero that roasts people. And it's just them sucking each other off for the first 20 minutes. But it's just so funny in the context of.
How high, how many dabs would you need to smoke to find Jeff Ross?
All of them.
To be an attractive man. You're an attractive man. Of all the things to compliment Jeff Ross on, which I struggle to find a single one other than he works with Dave Attell.
He knows
Dave
karate.
Attell is amazing. I know.
He knows karate and he can roast your bum pretty hard. But it was fun discovering this, that like there's a whole, because, you know, Bill Maher is like, you know, you're wrong. And like, I know everything, like, you know, where's the suit? And then serious. And then he's got like this other show where he's just like uncomfortably high. But there's so much episodes of it. I'm just diving in now. But it's such a funny world.
Weed was, I used to smoke weed all day, every day. But that's, I was a teenager. And then alcohol, I think that my life would have been, I don't know, it would have been different. But I think that alcohol, but once I got into alcohol, I couldn't do both anymore because it would fuck me up too much.
Yeah.
And I kicked weed out and started getting blackout. But I was a blackout. I don't blackout anymore, but now I get hangovers. I used to not get hangovers by blackout all the time. So.
That just comes with aging. Your metabolism is different.
Yeah. I've always had a pretty high tolerance, I guess. Or, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I remember my cousin used to, like, when I'd go visit my cousin who was in San Francisco and, like, you know, always has nice things, always been successful and sharp and stuff, and was just like, yeah, he's telling me, you still got that, you know, 20-year-old liver. Like, when you get to be my age, and he's just talking in his early 30s there, it's like, you know, you just drink half this beer and you leave it out, and then you drink half of this one, you leave it out. And so the room is just a collection of half-drunk stuff.
Yeah, that's not my experience. I still put them back. Like, sometimes, especially liquor, if I just have a... I can't buy a bottle of liquor anymore. Like, I can't just, like, drink it by myself because I'll just drink a whole bottle of liquor, like, in an evening and not realize... Then I'll black out. I'll just wake up the next day and I'm like, oh, my God, there's an empty bottle of liquor next to me. Wonder what I got up to last night.
I think if the euphoria doesn't work anymore, I think that's why I don't get addicted to stuff and I'm missing that wiring, whatever makes you like have the addiction bug. But if I notice that drinking alcohol does not give euphoria, I'm like, why am I going to drink this now? So I'll just like not have coordination and no euphoria. I'll just have no euphoria with coordination. That seems like the better bet. But ooh, if it gave me euphoria every time, I might have a problem.
Yeah, I like alcohol, definitely. But anyway, it'll be good for me to have a break. I need to be now. I need to shift gears with everything now that the festival's over and like line up touring. And
oh, it's never over.
So, well, now it's just planning for next year and getting ready, and that's going to take a lot of work.
It's so good, and it's going to be like the best sequel.
Yeah.
I'm worried about year three because like year three, it's going to be like, how are we going to top year two? But I'm not worried about year two. It's going to be popping.
Oh, year two is going to be really easy to top year one, even though year one was very special and people got tattoos and stuff like that.
At least four people got honeybee tattoos.
Yeah, and then there was just some other... Well, I guess some people just got tattoos that had nothing to do with mom, but...
No, it did. I would find a way to relate it to mom. If not, I'm going to upload videos with the date timestamp from before then.
Yeah, if you got some sort of other design, then we're just going to do an episode about that. If you got a tattoo at mom that had nothing to do with mom, let us know. We'll make an episode about that thing, and then it will... all be tied together.
Retrocausal. That's, did you ever read Time Loops by Eric Wargo?
No.
Our friend Colin Frangiceno sent me a copy of it once and said, like, hey, you in the future gave this to me and then said that I need to return this to you. So here it is from that.
Wait, what happened?
Basically, he was saying that we had a conversation in the future where I introduced him to this. And then so he's like, he has to close the loop by giving it to me.
Yeah, otherwise
it wouldn't have happened. Like, the whole fabric of reality crumbles if you don't, like, do the thing that the future self sent you back to do.
Yeah. Did you see the movie Tenet?
No, not yet.
I like that. That's a good time travel movie. You need to see it a few times for it to make sense. But it's fun to watch even if you aren't following it completely. But
who's the director?
Christopher Nolan.
Oh, of course. My fave. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The No.
I get Nolan very obsessed. Ryan. Yeah. So do you have any history of, like, alcoholism or anything in your family?
I don't know if it's alcoholism. Definitely, a little bit. Opiate use. I think they, a generation above my dad, like, smoked a lot of opium and... maybe drank a lot too, but I think it was more the opium. And I remember my dad saying, like, you're lucky you have such a good relationship to your grandparents. My grandparents, I would, like, come by and offer them tea and they, like, wouldn't remember who I was. They would just be opioided out or something.
Wow. I smoked opium once at a party and I was just like, I'll have a little bit. And that wasn't enough to do the intended effect.
So, I don't even know what it is. I mean, is it essentially just heroin? I mean, it's an opiate and it's from the poppy plant and
I don't know enough about it. Maybe it just boils down
to that one molecule. Isn't it funny that all these just, it boils down to just shapes when you really look at it. Yeah, it's just a shape that fits right in this receptor in that does that, but it's shape play.
That could be a fun piece of art.
A shape episode. Because I remember it was, it blew my mind when I learned that fake sugar is just a mirror image of sugar. So your palate thinks that it's sugar, but then your body doesn't process it as sugar. Sure, Whoa. It's not doing great stuff either. That's why saturin. Basically, one of our good listeners that knows how to explain stuff and is actually a scientist.
And that's the area of things that I know nothing about.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why it tastes sweet, because it's like that shape, but just reverse of it enough to when it goes into the security of here, of like, hey, this isn't sugar. Just throw it into the waste thing. Let the liver process it, however. But during the taste part, you're like, ooh, it's sweet because it looks like this other thing. But shapes, just shapes.
Well, I don't like the backwards shape of sugar, it turns out. I've never had an artificial sweetener that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, it's like not liking a twin, maybe. Like, I like the one twin, but the other twin's an asshole.
Yeah. I remember I had this friend trying to... stevia. You got to get into stevia because he's so proud to have quit sugar. And
it's all rubbish, mate. It's to me, to my palate, monk fruit sucks, stevia sucks, saturin sucks, Splenda sucks.
Yeah. Awful. Mm-hmm. Especially when you've tasted that sweet, sweet sugar.
Real sugar. I've eaten the cane, baby. I've had one stick of the cane. You chew on it. It takes forever
I don't
to
any
chew.
Ragas. Ugh.
Some people love Diet Coke, though. Like, that's some people like the flavor of Diet Coke more than real Coke.
I like that people think they're on a diet for drinking it, too. What a clever calling it Diet Coke stuff. That's advice for a lot of people. So that's an idea. So if someone has if someone has a vice just like soda or whatever, anything qualifies, or if you've quit things in the past.
I thought you said soda for a second. Like they can't watch, they can't stop watching Dan Soda clips and Bonfire and Billions. If you can't
stop watching Dan Soda clips, I can't blame you. He's very talented, very funny.
And he sounds like a slowed down voice.
Sounds like you're playing a voice at like 0.75.
He does fantastic impressions. Those guys are, and I don't them together on the Bonfire is really fantastic. I don't know if you've ever heard the show, but
just a little bit. It's not one I've done deep dive into, but I've known Dan since like 2010 or something, where we both did Montreal Just for Laughs, New Faces together, and he was the only guy that didn't bomb. We all ate our balls. I ate my balls. Lil Rel Howery ate his balls. Chris, damn it. The names are escaping me now, but basically Fleming. Everyone. Chris Fleming, maybe. Chris Laker, I think. Mm. Yeah, Chris Laker, maybe. Basically, just everyone there was not getting laughs out of people, because for New Faces, it's just industry there with clipboards, like just kind of studying how marketable you are and that. Like, it's not generally a place where they laugh a lot. And afterwards, they say you did good. So sociopathic. It's like, that was a great set. Trust me, I watch a lot of these. That was good. And Dan was the only one that got them to laugh.
So if you have a Dan Soda addiction, or if you are addicted to soda pop, that would be another vice. That is, I think, is basically anything you're addicted to that's causing issues, or something that is like a slippery slope for you, is because a lot, if like for anyone that just has like a drink or two a week, what's Sober October? Just cutting out alcohol for you? That's stupid. Yeah. That's not a thing. If alcohol isn't your vice, then it doesn't count. That's not sobriety. You were already sober. One or two drinks a week is sober.
Yeah.
Unless you have an issue.
No, I'm going to take on new vices, and maybe I'll just exercise more. So I haven't exercised this last month. Just too much getting ready for things.
Yeah, me too. I haven't exercised. I'm excited to get back on the pickleball court. And I have a Rock Gym membership that I haven't used hardly at all, that I'm super excited. I also got...
Rock Gym. Hell yeah.
The final 2 weeks leading up to the fest, I was like, I'm not going indoors anywhere, because if I get COVID during the fest, that's going to suck so bad. For everyone. And so now I'm excited to get
you probably still would have done the same thing. Like, you would have just been zimming and zamming around and not like infecting anyone
with a mask on or something. So yeah, that's vices. I don't know.
Did you know that Sober October is only 10 years old? I thought this was forever ago, but I guess little things like this are new to internet culture. Like, it can't really spread in the 80s. Could you imagine Sober October being a thing in the 80s? Of course not.
Yeah, I think it started in... Well, when I very briefly looked it up, it said something like in 2014, some such and such charity in Europe. But also, there was something in Australia. Te Wises.
No worries.
And it was in like 2010 that was called October or something.
Oh, yeah. They tried to make it too cutesy.
Yeah. And it was the same sort of thing, where during October, you don't drink for some sort of charity.
Only drink in the afternoon.
Which that's better than, in terms of raising money, I feel like, because that's what it started as. It started as some fundraising thing. Now it's just a thing that we can do to collectively grow as people together, maybe, and have some accountability, because a lot of these habits are supposed to be easier with accountability buddies, but also you're not supposed to try quitting four things at once. Which
but three is okay.
I think you're supposed to do like one at a time, small incremental gains. But all of mine are kind of attached to one another. Like if I,
you said they're all avoidant.
Yeah, and then but more than that, it's like they'll also like if I watch too much TV, I'll get down on myself about it and then I'll want to drink. Or if I drink too much, I'll be hungover and I'll play Tichu to like get my mind off of how hungover I am. So they all kind of fix each other as well by stuff like quitting smoking is near impossible if you're still drinking. So you can't just quit smoking and still be drinking, or at least yeah. I can't. I have in the past, but it's super hard to do.
Which one of these gives you the most withdrawals? Probably cigarettes, right?
Cigarettes, yeah. Cigarettes.
That's the one that makes you the most fidgety. Yeah, irritable. Yeah. Irritability is one of the most uncomfortable states of existence because just everything the rest of the world does sucks. Someone yeah. says like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Like, why would your grating voice, and you said it at the worst time ever, and I'm itching, and it's just, yeah, being irritable sucks.
I could use more patience anyway in life, so this would be a good time for me to work on improving upon that. But yeah, the last time I quit smoking, I quit a few times this summer, and the last time, so it was helping me email and stuff to have smoke breaks, but the last time I ended up, I think on day 4 or something, I was like taking my shoe off and it just took a little longer to get off than normal by maybe a quarter of a second. And I just fucking whipped my shoe across the room. I couldn't even, I after I did that, I was like, whoa, what did I just, what the fuck was that? I was just by myself and just whipped a shoe angrily across the room. Like, whoo, we got a lot going on.
I don't even remember the last time I had a tantrum like that.
Yeah.
I've never been a wall puncher or throw my phone or throw objects at people.
I'll throw a tantrum. My dad's got that. My dad's one of the most quietest human beings on earth. He's very nice. He's a very hardworking person and like never say anything to offend anyone. Very affable and everything. And then sometimes just fucking snaps. Like once in a while he just fucking snaps and you don't want to be around when it happens. And I have that in me. Cause I can see when I snap, like sometimes I'll see like someone's look, like when I like someone will start something with me or whatever and I'll snap, and then I'll see the look in them, like when I snap, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It's not that big of a deal. I didn't mean to scare you that much. I just get wild, crazy eyes. And so that's a thing that I'm hoping doesn't happen. But trying to quit 4 things at once. The thing is, if I
can't even remember 4 things.
But like, usually,
give me 4 numbers, one of them is going to be wrong.
Usually if I do a whole bunch of quitting of things at once, and then I just really track how productive I am with everything else, then I can, it's all sorts of accomplishment. Cause quitting things is cool because by just not doing a thing, you're accomplishing a great deal.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't do anything else for October, if I just laid in bed and did nothing, but I didn't drink or smoke cigarettes or watch TV or play Tichu, like by the end of October, that would be an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah. It's like getting out of debt, getting out of the red. It's like we're in the black now.
Yeah.
Which in finance, that always intrigued me, that there's no green. It's like you're in the red, that's you're in debt, and then you're in the black. That means you've got some stuff in the account.
Yeah,
but green, non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, like, I'll probably do mushrooms at some point, because I don't count that, because I'm so overdue for a mushroom trip, and I haven't been able to get myself mentally in the space, usually because I'm like, ah, I've been drinking too much anyway.
And they're not habit forming.
And they're not habit forming.
No one wants to be on mushrooms every day.
No. But I can't do ketamine because I have, like...
That can be habit forming.
That can be habit forming. And so also, speaking of psychedelics, we're going to do a bonus episode coming out hopefully October 1st if we get it out.
Spooky.
Fast enough. We're going to do a bonus episode talking about... We had, after the festival ended, the Monday after, we had the staff all together and... went out to dinner, and everyone helped clean and stuff and went over some things.
And we didn't have to clean at all. There was only 3 bottles, and I think it was us that left them on the ground. But what a clean group of people.
Everyone was super clean. And they, yeah, very grateful for that. And we had some good, fun times that evening. That is bonus
Patreon
material.
Only.
Patreon only. So if you want to hear what happened after the festival,
yeah,
for us close-knit group.
If you value our candidnessness and you think that we are candid, honest boys of honesty, ooh boy, you want to check out Patreon for where we really get down, because this is our presented nice selves that we're okay with, you know, family sometimes seeing. Not really, but...
Yeah. And please do support us on Patreon. That's how we start gearing up for next year. And also, so we have 250 Patreon members right now. 251.
That ain't bad.
Actually, that's not bad, but it could be better. And how we planned for the festival, how I originally planned, was I just thought, well, I bet about the number of Patreon people, which was somewhere around 220. Like, I bet we'll get about that number, because not everyone on Patreon's going to come, but some people, like, clearly enough people care that much, and some people bring their friends and everything else. And we want to double that. And if we get enough support in the meantime, and our numbers go up, and you guys spread the word now that we're doing an awesome thing, we're just going to be able to scale everything up and make a much better festival for next year. And we're going to be able to deliver a lot more content now that the team's fully energized and excited about everything that we're doing.
Vitamin infused urine.
Oh, yeah. McCool's been drinking those vitamins. McCool, just before recording, we were talking, and he's just like, I just needed that festival so much, because I was, you know, it's such a grind. This show is a fucking grind. We crank out so much stuff. We need to think of the show that we deliver is something that like 20 people should be putting together. And instead it's just 4 of us.
Yeah.
And poor McCool trying to survive off of urine alone. And so he's feeling energized. Banana's energized. We have new business partners and stuff coming in, and people are excited. So
spread the word.
If you guys spread the word,
and if you don't want to spread the word, at least tell us what it would take for you to spread the word. Because if it's like, you want more outfits, we'll do it. If you want more voices, we'll do it. If you want less voices, we'll do it. But tell us your list of terrorist demands, which why you were withholding spreading the word. So just spread them, and then we'll give you the goods, and we'll keep putting out con.
Yeah, we'll give the goods. Because I was thinking one thing that we did with the festival under the Mind Under Matter account is we followed all of the artists that we had.
I've done
on.
That with mine too, I think. If I haven't followed you and we had, you know, we shared a moment and I've met you and stuff, feel free to reach out. I'll follow you too. I'll give you a share every now and then. I'll give you a like. I'll even give you a non-easy to access emoji. I'll send an emoji that is like, oh, you had to scroll to get that one, huh?
I had So one of the things in that process was we set alerts for all of the, so we could be promoting all of the artists and bands that were working with Mind Under Matter. So also just to have, you know, promote all our awesome artists, and we want more people, more artists involved next year. And in that, that Mind Under Matter feed improved so much, because instead of just Instagram sending you like what they think that you want, instead I got to see posts that, because we have, you know, a bunch of like awesome up and coming artists that don't have a million followers or whatever, I got to see the actual posts that the algorithms would have usually hid from us. Yeah. So if you want to follow Ramin or I or Mind Under Matter on Instagram, with Mind Under Pod on Instagram, and set an alert so you can see our clips and everything, then McCool knows all of his editing and highlights aren't going to waste. So that's my whole spiel. If you're interested in the Sober October thing, I'd love if you hopped on Discord and chatted about it a little bit with us, because maybe we'll mention it each episode a little bit. And then also, what do you think? Do you think I can make it all the way to November?
I think so now, now, because we're in the clear and all the big events have passed, and now we're in this moment of rest, which is like more of an ideation thing. I think it's perfect timing.
I think it's perfect timing, and I think I can do it as well.
What about No Nut November? I wonder if that's going to be like, if that's newer.
I don't
newer.
Know if you can do it, though. I don't know if it's like healthy to do.
Do you know Nima Naz? I might just know him because he's an Iranian comedian, but like he's got this bit or like a little sketch of like, you know, his fully Iranian character being like, "No Nut November, how can you go without nut? I have nut in morning, I have nut with my friend Jamshid, I go to his house and he give me nut." Because like nuts are so big in Iranian culture and food, there's like always nuts on tables, and anywhere you go it's like a bunch of nuts.
There is a group of men that don't like withhold or something, right? Isn't that some subset of a thing of just guys?
I'm sure, but I'm talking about literal like eating nuts.
I thought you were talking about coming, clearly.
No, not November is about coming, but the joke is about a guy thinking that he's...
But No Nut November is about coming. And isn't there a group of guys that don't, that like... literally don't.
Yeah, he practices semen retention.
Yeah.
I don't practice that. I don't practice it. I don't perform
Why
it.
Why would you? Yeah, you get it.
Because you save up all the chi.
No, you don't want. You get chi building up, you're gonna make worse decisions than alcohol will ever make you make. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but to each their own. Who knows what they're aiming for? Maybe they're shooting a scene. Maybe that's why they do it. They do it so they can shoot a scene later.
In fairness, I haven't let my chi build up too much ever. I think I've gone like a couple of weeks.
That's a lifetime. That's a lifetime. It's a lifetime. It really lifetime is. In Ireland.
And there was no, like breakthrough where I was like, yes, I've done it. I am free now. I am enlightened, and now I can just hold my chi without any chi worries or concerns or chi thoughts on my mind. It's just, it's like I think we've talked about there was the military study when early on they were trying to figure out what was the minimum amount of rations you could possibly give military people so that they could survive in, you know, if they get lost in a jungle or whatever else. This is in the 40s. Or something. And so they had all these guys partake in a study, you know, for helping the armed servicemen and everything else. And they basically just starved them for like 2 months on end. They gave them like so few calories. I don't know how many calories is a lot or a little, because I've never looked at such things in my life. But they gave them like lower than what they thought it would take to survive. So they're just starving them and this was when, you know, women are in the kitchen and blah, 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 and men don't do the cooking and the housekeeping in that period of time. And they had a library and they could read whatever they want. And after like 5 days, all they would do was check out cookbooks and stuff like that. And then week two and three, all they're doing is discussing their restaurants that they're going to like partner and build, and they're going to like start a grocery store when they get out, and hatching all these like food based entrepreneurial plans. And I feel like that's what holding on to your chi is going to do to you. That's because they say
they don't go to the grocery store hungry, that whole thing. And then if
don't
the thing
go
you're
outside
withholding,
with all of your chi.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hear more about chi and other type things that are too scandalous and edgy for the regular Mind Under Matter.
Even though
there's
a whole Seinfeld episode about it.
Yeah, that's we can talk about chi all we want. If anything, it's just like, is it too lame? Now it's like, these guys talked about chi for too long. Podcast got lame once they it went the wrong way, or it went the other way after a while. Like, oh my gosh, they're talking about masturbating. Like, oh my god, they're talking about masturbating still. How are they still talking about it?
All night April.
That's how life goes. And until next time,
keep on salivating, honeys. Ding.